Good morning, everyone. It is good to be back with you again this morning. If you're a guest with us this morning, I'd especially like to welcome you. I hope that you find Crossbridge as a welcoming place. I know we have friends here from all over, even overseas today, and I'm thankful for that. It makes me smile. I'm glad that you're here. I hope that, like everyone else who's around you and everyone who's watching online, you find yourself, no matter where you are in your faith right now, that you find yourself taking a step closer towards Jesus this morning. That is our ultimate goal here at Crossbridge, and that's what we hope for you. Today we finish out our series, Words to the Wise. And I don't know about you, but I've really enjoyed this series. I feel like this has been very practical. It's been really easy. And it's been a series where we're going through the book of Proverbs together. And I know many of you have taken the Proverbs challenge, where we talked about reading a chapter a day in Proverbs. And I was doing pretty well with this until vacation last week. And then it just went. And I'm like, no wisdom needed on vacation. Rest needed on vacation. So if you have fallen behind like I have, I want to encourage you. It's okay. You can catch back up. The Bible's still there, and you could still jump in. It hasn't changed. It's really good. Okay? Through the series, what I've liked is every time I've been reading Proverbs, I continue to think in my mind, this is written by King Solomon, the wisest man, to his kids, hoping that his kids will have some wisdom to make the best decisions in their life. And as I've thought about that reading through it, it kind of has settled on me. You know, I really want that for my kids. I want my kids to be prepared to make the best decisions that they can make, because God knows I haven't always made them. I've made some pretty questionable decisions, and I'm sure you're probably, I see some of you nodding, not at my decisions, but you know you've made them too. We all have those moments, and maybe you know someone where they make a decision, you stop and you ask the question, why? Why did you do that? Don't look at your kids right now, that just, or your spouse. You know, just, why did you do that? Maybe even a harder question answers, have you ever stopped and you ask, why? Why did I do that? Why did I make that decision in this moment? That wasn't wise. That wasn't smart. Why do we make decisions like that? Does anyone remember these? What is this? It's a magic eight ball. Magic eight ball. These are great. They have them on your iPhones now where you just tap it and it gives you an answer, but it's not nearly as fun or as good of a prop. So magic eight balls are great. And I remember having one of these as a kid, and you could do a lot when you need to make a decision with a magic eight ball. And so I remember asking, magic eight ball, do I need to study for my exam tomorrow? The answer is no. Sweet, will I pass? Outlook looks good. Sweet! Off to play video games, right? I mean, that's how Magic 8 Ball works. And I took my exam, and I remember I had a solid C-, and I thought, oh, it works. Magic 8 Ball? Should I ask Michelle to be my girlfriend? No. Should I do it anyway? The outlook looks good. All right. And, you know, you get shot down in that moment and you're like, well, is this the best way to make decisions? Yes. It's easy. It's simple. No, this isn't the best way to make decisions at all. And as ridiculous as it sounds, honestly, I think there are times that if you're here this morning and you would call yourself a Christian, someone who pursues Jesus and wants your life to be centered around him, we have a thing that we like to do a lot when we're like, Jesus, what should I do in this moment? And we play Russian roulette with our Bible, right? Bible roulette. We shake it up and we just hope when we turn to something, it's going to make sense to us. And we're like, Jesus, my kids are driving me crazy today. What should I do? And we open it up. Then the sailors picked Jonah up and they threw him into the raging sea and the storm stopped at once. That's a great idea. God, are you asking me to throw my kids overboard? Is this what you want from me? Elijah turned around and looked at them and he cursed them in the name of the Lord. And then two bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the boys. Yeah. Amen. Right? I mean, is this what we do, God? Is this what you want from me? Should I just know scripture enough to just But we do this, don't we? I believe we go to God with these questions and these major decisions in our life, and so often we stop and we just shake up the Bible or we shake the magic eight, and impulsively, whatever the answer is, we just go with it. And here's the thing. I know that you're here this morning because God has brought you here, but there's something going on in life. I recognize that most people don't start going to church or pursuing a relationship with God when things are excellent in their life. I have to assume that there's been something in your life that has brought you here today that you're in a place going, God, I've got questions. I've got questions about my marriage. I've got questions about my job. I've got questions about my future and decisions to make about where to move and when to move and when to do this and when to do that. And you're here because you have questions and you believe, like I do, that God might have those answers for you. We all have these questions. But do we believe that we serve a God that we could shake up and it's yes, no, and maybe? Or is God a fortune teller for us? That he's going to give us and tell us what his will is for our life. And when we align with that will, everything is going to be perfect. There's no more issues. It's complete happiness and no tension. It's okay to have these questions for God. And this morning, I want to stop and I want to ask, how can we determine what God's will is for our life then? How can we know without just shaking the eight or shaking the Bible how to make a good decision and unlock what God's will would be for our life? Because sometimes, you ever made a decision and things didn't go right? You made a decision and you're left in the end thinking, God, I read the Bible, I pointed to a verse, I made a decision, it seemed like the right decision, and still things aren't good. I know for Eileen and I can remember a time in our life when we were praying really hard about something. We just got married, and I was like, this is what God wants us to do. Do you believe that? Yes, I believe it. And together we decided, and we picked up everything we had, and we moved because we thought this was what God was doing. And when we moved, everything we moved for crashed right in front of us. And we were left staring at each other with jobs we didn't want, family nowhere near us, no friends at the time, asking the question, did we hear God wrong? Is this not his will for us? What happened? How do you determine what God's will is? You know, when you read through Proverbs, King Solomon, I believe, is going to give us three keys to unlocking God's will for our life. If you want to know, how do I make a decision? How do I plan in the crossroads, in these major sections of my life, what I'm supposed to do? I believe that we can know what God's will is for us. So that's what we're going to answer today. How can you determine what God's will for your life is? Sound good? This should sound really good, because this is like the biggest question we always have. Like, what's God want? I don't know. Here's our first key. The first key, if you want to understand what God's will for your life is make sure you always recognize that planning always involves paradox. Planning always involves paradox. And the reason I want you to remember this is because in those times in your life when things are not right, when you're sitting there questioning, there is a verse that I always tend to go back to that makes the biggest difference for me. And it's in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll make your path straight. And this morning, we're going to continue to camp here about trusting the Lord with all our heart, leaning not on our own understanding, acknowledging him in all that we've got, because that's the path we want to take. That's where we need to go. But to unlock this, we have to understand that planning involves paradox. Now, paradox is an interesting thing. Paradox is simply when there's a statement that doesn't make any sense together, but it still makes complete sense. Okay, it's like the information paradox. You're familiar with the information paradox? It's where quantum physics and the theory of relativity come into combination, understanding that information, if lost in a black hole, cannot come. Okay, how about jumbo shrimp? Jumbo shrimp. It's an oxymoron. It's a paradox. It's something really big, but really small. It doesn't make any sense. How can it be a shrimp if it's bigger than my hand, right? This doesn't make any sense. There's a paradox to it. And when it comes to decision making, we have to understand that there is a paradox in every decision. There is a tension that we have to manage in each of them, because there's two ways that you can go about planning and decisions. The first way we tend to go about it is there are those planners, right? There are strategic planners who you find a decision and you are going to research the garbage out of this decision with every way, every angle, understanding everything you can, so that in the end you can make the best possible choice for that decision, even though you know you ultimately can't control the outcome and things change. And then we have the other side, which is like, God's in control, so I need to do nothing. I can absolutely sit back, relax. I have faith and faith abundantly, so I don't need to do anything because I can't control the outcome and things are going to change. The result is the same in both, but how we approach it is different. And so is one right and is one wrong? You could talk back to me. It's okay. No. No, that's the tension that we're going to have in this. And this tension can clearly be seen. I love this, between this idea of planning and this idea of just trust and faith and guidance, and God will guide me, in Proverbs 21:5, where it says, "The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty." And this word diligent here in the Hebrew, it basically has this idea of like cutting through what is non-essential to get what is essential. Okay, there is planning here. When you are diligent, when you can do the homework that's involved in a decision-making process, it's going to lead to profit. It's going to work in your favor. Planning is extremely important in decision-making. And sometimes we forget about that planning is important. But haste, this idea of just kind of going quickly, shaking the eight and expecting a decision will happen, why not just rush it? Let's just get it done and over with and move on to the next thing. This tends to lead to poverty. This tends to lead to us feeling abandoned, confused, wondering what could have changed in this situation. Simply put, we have to use our minds and the resources that God has given us to plan. Impulsive decisions that when we just wing it normally are not successful plans. And we do plan. If you're thinking of going to a college, you plan and you research which college you should go to. If you're wondering about a person that you're dating and thinking, should I get married to them? You start to really research and think, should I really do this? You start asking friends, asking relatives. If they actually say yes and you start planning a wedding, good night. How much planning goes into that? You take planning that and you wonder, I got to buy a house. Should I take this job? Should we move to these places? All of these questions, we don't decide on a whim, do we? We don't shake an eight and think, should I move to Ohio? Never. Okay, I mean, you know, we don't do that. We simply plan. And planning is so good for us. And before the Uber planners in the room start elbowing the people next to them going, see, told you, we have to keep this in tension, keep this in mind, with the idea that God is always in control. And Proverbs 16:9, I would highly encourage you, memorize this verse. If you highlight it in your Bibles, make a verse image in the Bible app right now. You know, this is one of my favorite verses. And it's simply that it's in his heart a man plans his course, but it's the Lord who determines his steps. You know what? Let's read this together real quick. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. You know what the paradox in verse 9 is? Man plans, and God plans, right? Man is a part of this, and God is a part of this, and it's all man, but it's also all God. And how do you balance the tension and decision where you know that planning's important, and it's all on you, but it's also all on God? How do you do this? Is it either or? No, it's both and. How does that work, Jim? I have no idea. I have no idea. I wish I could give you a logical answer to this, but that's the paradox of it. I believe that God wants us to work as hard as we can. We talked about it a lot when we talked about finances 2 weeks ago. Do you remember the number one way to make money? Work hard. Work hard. Money finds its way to those who work hard because God wants us to work hard. And so when it comes to planning, God wants us to have a plan. God is a planner. He is strategic, right? And so while the responsibility lies on us to plan, we need to plan as much as we can. And for those Uber planners, we can get in trouble here because when we plan so much, you know what happens? We start to have a 5-year plan and we start to have a 10-year plan and we dream and we say, I'm going to be there. And so God, I want to own a business. I want to be a millionaire and I want to have these cars by the time I'm this age. Will you bless me? We make our plans and then we go to God as a last resort. And then the flip side, when we say, well, it's all God, so I don't need to do anything. Well, God, I don't need to plan for a job. You'll provide one. I don't really need to look for a spouse. They're going to show up at my door. No dating. Waste of time. Finances, God? I don't need to budget at all. You're going to provide all I need according to your riches and glory. Hallelujah. These are horrible decisions. But so is this. You see, the tension that we have to hold is, it's all you. It's all me. But it's also all God. And so my encouragement when we talk about planning and that paradox that it comes is you and I should plan and prepare and work as though everything depends on us, but then stop and breathe, recognizing we can trust and depend and pray as though it all depends on God. That's the paradox. And when we have this understanding that planning is a paradox, it leads us right into our second key. Not only is it all God and all you, but we have to remember that God blesses disciples, not decisions, okay? God blesses disciples, not decisions. It's not really about yes or no. The answer isn't so important, but sometimes it's the process of the shake. Sometimes it's what takes us to God to ask. And I think of, you know, decisions like, who should I marry, right? This question that many people have in their life, who should I get married to? And even more awkward is when you're married, should I have married them? Did I marry the right person? Has anybody else in here ever thought this besides me? Okay, if you're married and you didn't raise your hand, you're a liar. You're just worried what your spouse is gonna think. Because everyone thinks that. There comes the moment when you have that blow up and you look and go, why did I even marry you? Why did I do this? You see, here's the funny thing. If you logically think, is there the one out there for you? Did I marry the right one? Just stop for a second, okay? Kim, let's suppose that you're my right one. But you've already married Chris. Well, Chris just messed up my life. And so I married Eileen. But Eileen's real one, that's Scott. But Scott's married to Erica. And Erica, do you see the fallacy here? Do you see the issue that we have is that if one person marries the wrong person, we're all screwed. That's it. You see, the decision isn't what's important. It's the process of getting us there. God blesses the disciple, not the decision. And we have to remember that. Our decisions, as important as they are, they're not as important as the process that God has us in to get us there. Our decisions and our planning have a bigger purpose, and that purpose is to be men and women who pursue God and step up in our faith. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, remember? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own what? In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll make your path straight. This word understanding here in the Hebrew really has this idea of learning all that you can about a situation and getting as much as you can. And so don't lean on your own understanding, because as much as we can gather, we still have a problem with not having enough information, right? Even in an information age, we can't get enough. But in all your ways, the second kind of wisdom in here, the first is understanding, the second is acknowledge. In all your ways, acknowledge. This has everything to do with intimate and personal relationship, okay? There's an intimacy to this word, and it's a relational word. And so what this proverb is saying is, listen, I don't need you to lean on everything that you know and coming out to the right example or to the right decision. What's more important in all of your ways, in all of these decisions, in all of your journey, what's more important is your relationship with God. That's what's more important than the outcome that you have. God blesses the disciple, not the decision. He doesn't want to bless your decision. He wants to bless you. And so often we pray the prayer, God, I'm making this choice. Will you bless it? I don't want a blessing for my decisions. I want a blessing for me. Because then even when I make the wrong decisions, the blessing doesn't go with that. It stays with me. Proverbs 16:3 amplifies this. And it says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. The word commit here in the Hebrew, it means to roll onto. This idea of, you know, commit to the Lord whatever you do. Take all your plans, take all your understanding, take all that you've invested into this decision, and I want you to roll it onto God and give it to God and say, God, for this decision, I can trust you. I can trust that you're in control of all things. I can trust that I can't control the outcome of this. And I know that wherever this leads me, I know your desire is that I would look more like you. So I'm going to trust you with this, even though it's freaking me out. It's a great prayer. God, I trust you, even though it's freaking me out. I pray it daily. That's what commit means. We roll on to God all that we have. God's not looking for someone with all the knowledge and understanding. He's looking for someone with humility. Someone that can understand they don't understand it all. And that's really hard for us to hear in America, specifically on the East Coast and in New Jersey, because can I just tell you something? We think we know a lot. We do. And if we don't know it, we're going to read a blog, we're going to listen to a podcast, we're going to read a book, we're going to scour the Wikipedia page and watch a YouTube video on how to do whatever it is. And after we've done that, we're an expert. Forget schooling. Forget a mentor. I'm an expert. This is what we do. We don't like to have a sense of humility. We don't like the process when someone has to tell us what to do, because it means that maybe we don't know as much as we think we know. Knowledge about a situation isn't nearly as important as the journey it takes to get there. Because God's shaping us in the journey, not just the outcome. It's so important for us to know this, that God is in the process. And everything that we do is shaping and leading us towards his will. And there is kind of an issue that we have with understanding God's will. And there's a myth about it. And the myth goes like this. God knows everything and he's in control. Is this true or not? Okay, true. Yes. God desires to lead me into his perfect will. True. Yes, these are good things, right? So if I line up my life with God's perfect will, then life is going to be free of pain, tension, and suffering. This is where we mess it up, doesn't it? We always think that, God, if I put all my understanding, all my knowledge, all of everything into you, life's just going to be easy. No, it's not, because it's not about the decision. It's about the process. And sometimes, for many of us in here, we know the process just involves pain. The process involves suffering, and God's will, sometimes in his will, he withholds an answer from us. And we say, God, I want it, I need it, I need it, I need it, I need it. And he stops and says, no, you don't. You're far too anxious in this situation. I need to teach you how to be less anxious and more full of grace. God, I can't forgive them. It's okay not to forgive them, right? Take it easy. We need to deal with the anger. You see, in the process of decision making, God says, if you want to line up with my will, I truly believe that sometimes he allows things to happen in our life that are even opposite of what we have requested or asked of him. Not because he's a jerk or not because he's out to get us, but because he desires us to look more like Christ for the sake of those who are around us. That's why. And so in our decision-making process, a lot of times Eileen and I felt that way when we moved. And I was like, did we miss something? Can I tell you that God shaped us in that year of our marriage more than many other years of our marriage? Sometimes being in God's will involves suffering. I mean, think about Joseph. What's Joseph's, God's will for Joseph's life is to rescue an entire generation from starvation, right? So they do not starve and when they go through the famine. And what does he have to go through? A beating from his brothers, thrown in a pit, sold into slavery, lied about, falsely accused, and then thrown in prison, all while he's in God's will. Or what about in the New Testament with the Apostle Paul, who's been given the task to stay in God's will by sharing the message of Jesus with everyone who will listen, especially the Gentiles who have never had this story spoken to them before. His life had to have been easier, right? I mean, he's talking to people about Jesus. Beaten. Lied about. Attacked multiple times. Shipwrecked. And then thrown in prison. All while being in God's will. I think we need to stop and recognize that if we're suffering, it's not because we're not in God's will. Sometimes he uses that. He uses that to shape us because he blesses his disciples. And that process, not just the decisions. Remember, it's in his heart that a man plans his course, but it's God, it's the Lord who determines his steps. We plan. But this is in God's hands. This is in God's hands. And the last thing that we can do to unlock God's will, this is one of my favorites. Just ask others. Ask others. I know for some of you, you're like, you just told me I don't like people. I know. We're from New Jersey. Arm's length is plenty. We have to learn to ask others. This is so important. In Proverbs 15:22, it says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. And one of the questions we have to ask is, who do we allow to speak into our lives? Who do we allow if we've truly said, okay, God, I'm going to trust you that I don't know everything, and I'm going to work hard on my side. I'm going to trust you on this side. I'm going to trust that you care about the whole process, not just the end. But I have no idea where I'm going. What am I supposed to do? And here, it's great because Solomon says, smart people, wise people have many advisors. They have lots of people in their life who are going to speak into them. And it's important to know who they are. And so some of the wise people you can go seek out. If you have your program with you, you can just write these down because you're going to want to look for these people. The first type of person you can look for in your life is the sage. Okay, look for the sage. The sage, if you have this picture in your head of like Gandalf, you're in the right realm, okay? That's what I always think about. You're looking for someone who's like 20 plus years down the road from where you are now. Someone who's wise. Someone who, if you look at their life, you say to yourself, I want to look like that when I'm that age. Like, that's what I want. Who is it that's far down the road? I know for me, I have a handful of pastors in our district that I meet with on a semi-regular basis. Every one of them has been at the same church for 20 plus years. I picked them out, sought them out, and bugged the garbage out of them specifically because as a young pastor, I want to know, how'd you do it? How did you last in a season when pastors roll over at churches? I don't want that. I want to be at Crossbridge for as long as I can, until they boot me. You're stuck with me. That's what I want. But I'm not going to get that on my own. Why? Because I don't have that wisdom yet. I don't have that understanding. I need those men in my life. And I look at dads. Dads who have raised up these amazing teens and these amazing young adults who have gone on to have kids, who have these successful godly marriages and amazing grandkids. Can I tell you what I've done? I bugged the garbage out of them. I need to meet with you. Why? Because I need to know how to be a good dad. I want to throw my kids overboard and let bears maul them. I need you. Oh, okay. They don't understand it. But that's the sages in my life. I try to look for the old couple who's been married for many, many years. And when that guy randomly grabs his wife's hand for no apparent reason and just looks and smiles, I want that guy in my life because I want to hold Eileen's hand walking through an airport through those cool little escalators because we can't really walk. You know, I want to be that old holding her hand just because I can and to show that God's been faithful in our marriage. Like, I want to know how to love her for a long time, not just now. Who are the sages in your life that can speak godly wisdom to where you are now in situations where they've been there? They will tell you how to get through and give you the endurance you don't have on your own. You need sages. Not only do you need sages, but you need advisors, you need friends, you need people around the same age as you. And these are people, these are not your drinking buddies or the people you go to the gym with or you're like, let's just get together real quick for whatever. These are godly people whose maturity in their faith at the same level that you are. That's the people we're talking about here. This works its way whether you're in sixth grade, seventh grade, in high school, young adults, all the way through. You need people your age that can look at you and say, I understand. I understand. I like people my age who look and say, I want bears to eat my kids too sometimes. Why? Because it resonates. And I'm like, thank you. It's not just me. So what do I do? And godly wisdom says we can search scripture together. We can pray together. We can even commiserate together for right now. And sometimes that's enough. That's enough. I'm thankful for some of these friends in my life. I have a standing appointment every other week with one of them who he speaks such truth into my life. He is a pastor. He's the same age, went to the same school. He's got kids now. And so our conversations, I mean, even this whole message, can I tell you, we've talked about this entire thing already. Because I need to know, am I way off here or is this okay? Because sometimes I'm off and I need him to look and tell me that. And in addition to godly friends, one of the most important areas, I pray this over you so bad if you have a godly spouse. A spouse who works that same way as a friend, who calls out the best in you and points you towards Jesus, not just lets you flounder and starts poking you when you're down. Right? We need this. I am thankful that I have a wife who points me towards Jesus all the time. And when I'm a jerk, and there are times I'm just fried, and I'm done. I'm done with people. I'm done. I'm just like, leave me alone. And she says, is this really the way God would operate right now? Is this what God would have for you? Is this the best? Well, thanks for being convicting, jerk. But you know what? It makes me better. You and I, we need friends and we need a spouse that tells us not what we want to hear, but tells us what we need to hear. Because it's the process. We need a spouse and friends who tell us what we need to hear, not what we want to hear. And that does not give us the license then to criticize our spouse and be like, well, I'm just doing what Pastor Jimmy said. He said I could do this. That's abuse. You need to be in a place where you can receive this. Have those conversations. This is so important for your life. And if you were to make a list and you put people down, who would be on there? If you had to ask others, would you put your parents on there? Can I tell you, parents, there's a plethora of wisdom right there. There is so much wisdom and knowledge, and God has planted you, whether you are here this morning and you would say, I am a Christian or I am not a Christian, it doesn't matter. God has placed you in a family where you have parents who have wisdom. They have knowledge. They have so much life experience that you need. when it comes to big decisions in life. I'm not saying you need to go to them with everything. They don't want that. Neither do you. But there are some big things in life that they have been through that they can give you wisdom. And I know already, I could see some of you, especially right here in the front, where it's you know, junior high, high school, young adult. I know where you are right now, and you're probably thinking, Jimmy, my parents are idiots. They really don't get it. They don't understand. I know that's what you think. I totally know that's what you think, because I thought the same thing about my parents. But can I tell you something? There are probably very few mistakes that you're about to make in life that they haven't already made. There's probably very few things that you could say, I'm going to choose to do this, that they haven't done. And they can actually help you not to go down these horrific paths where we talk about pain, suffering, and these. They can help you. You can ask them any question, as awkward as it gets, and watch them squirm a little bit, but you need them more than you have any idea. You need them, you need them, you need them. And if you're also in that age range, your small group leaders at Youth Group and in CB Kids are an unbelievable resource. You need them, you need them, you need them. They will help you. We need our parents. And the last person we need to ask is the Holy Spirit. This is so important for us, because in the beginning of Proverbs chapter 1, wisdom is personified like this, and it says, wisdom calls aloud in the streets. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God here on earth. And if you are a Christ follower, you have to know that He dwells in you, that He gives you wisdom and understanding that you could never have on your own. Sometimes we call this our conscience, when you're like, I don't know why I shouldn't do this, but I just shouldn't. The Holy Spirit speaks to us that way. But can I tell you the primary way that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to us? This way. It's this way. Not this way, but this way. It's a constant. Do you want to know God's will for your life? Do you want to know what He's speaking into situations? The Holy Spirit will speak to you through Scripture. And if you're here this morning, you're like, I don't even believe in Jesus. I'm thankful you're here. I love that Crossbridge is a place for you. Even if you don't believe in Jesus, this book will change your life. I promise. Start reading through Proverbs and the Psalms. It'll change your life. It'll lead a whole bunch of questions, and you can come and ask all the questions you want here. We love that. Ask away. It'll change your life. But for those who pursue Jesus, can I tell you this? You want to know if you've made the right decision or not? You want to know if you've heard from the Holy Spirit? Read the Bible and ask. Because God will never contradict what's here. If you have an idea and you're thinking, you know what? My marriage is absolutely shaky. It's horrendous, and I'm done with them. I'm just frustrated. I'm out. It's time for divorce. And I feel like it's okay. I've prayed about it, and God said I can get a divorce. I'll tell you, there's seasons for that in Scripture that it talks about when there's an appropriate time. But if you're just tired of them, you didn't hear from God. There's no way. If you have someone that you work with that you're thinking, I just cannot forgive them, I've prayed about it, and God said it's okay to be angry. So I'm just going to run with it. You didn't hear from God. Holy Spirit didn't speak to you. How do you know that? Well, it's clear. When you read the Bible, it tells us that we forgive. How many times? Countless, innumerable. Don't measure it. You see, a lot of times we're asking God, will you speak to me? But we never know if it's His voice or not, because we don't know His word. That's how we're going to know His voice. You want to know what God's will is for your life? Do you want to make these wise decisions? You need good counsel in your life. You need people that you could talk to, that you can ask. In Proverbs 16:9, it is so clear that it's in his heart. It's in his heart that a man plans his course. But it's the Lord who determines his steps. Plan. Work hard. remember, it's not all on you. As much as you think it is or feel that pressure, you don't have to. And to know that you're probably worried, right? What if I make the wrong decision? Can I tell you what worry is? Worry simply is this unbelief that we carry that God's really not in control. That we can somehow make decisions that's going to mess up all of eternity. That we're going to marry the wrong person and now everyone's married the wrong. Right? All of it fell on us. You don't have to worry because God is sovereign. And that word sovereign simply means he is in control. You're not. And the freeing part of that is for a control freak church like we are, you don't have to be. You can loosen your grip and let God be God. You work your tail off. You pray hard. Understand that in that planning, there's a paradox. And that as you plan the paradox, God wants to bless the journey, not your decision. He wants to bless you. And the ultimate way you'll make that great decision is you have to ask others. So what decision do you have that's in front of you now that's really got you in a bind? Have you asked God? Have you sought out people? Have you searched the scriptures? That's where wisdom will come from. Will you pray with me as we close? God, I'm thankful that your desire is to give us wisdom. That your desire is not for us to walk around without knowledge, feeling like we're wandering. But my gut feeling, God, this morning is that we are a church and we are a people in this area who's much more about it's all me than it's all you. And so there are certain situations right now that I pray you would allow us the freedom to release some of our grip, that we would not hold on for dear life to some of the decisions that we're making, and we would release some of the trust that, you know what, nothing's going to be 100%, but we can trust that no matter what the outcome, you're still in control. And your desire is to lead us into a relationship with you so that we can look more like Christ and bless those who are around us and they can see you. God, I pray for those this morning who are here who are in situations where they've questioned you and your faithfulness because of pain, suffering, and hurt. Not that you would relieve that, but I pray that you would speak into it and you would allow those in those communities and those circles to say, I see what God is doing here. And I'll sit with you in this. I'll sit with you. And for those who are making decisions and things are so exciting and they're ready to run, God, I pray that you would continue to bless them, not their decisions, that they would see you in the present and in the 5-minute plan, not the 5-year plan. God, I thank you for this place. I thank you for today. I thank you for the simpleness of this morning as we prepare for the crazy this week. God, thanks. It's in your name we pray. Amen.